the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Romans.
Well, Chef Edward Lee,
I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media.
Stephen George,
budding country music star,
J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
Yes, it is the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. Glad to be back with you for the 328th consecutive week. And each one of those weeks, I have brought you and introduced you to two of the most interesting people in the Ville. I have not failed you this week. I can't wait to introduce you to my two very interesting guests that will be coming up on the show in just a few minutes. First of all, I'm going to mention that here from the RE/MAX Properties East Studios, we are sponsored by the Eye Care Institute down in Butchertown, 502-589-1500, where first responders always get $1,000 off LASIK. If you are thinking about that, I did it last year, and it's been a great thing for me. And also by Heiser Health. Heiser Health, if you need to get in shape, get some dietary advice, learn how to eat right, and lose weight like I did, call the folks at Heiser Health. All right. Now, let me tell you first about my guest in the second part of the show, and her name is Amanda Bates. If you remember that last week, I was down at the, I think it's called the Citizens Building at 900 East Main, and they've got a lot of stuff going on down there. I introduced you to Natalia Bishop and Major Robertson down there, who are doing great things. Well, Amanda Bates is in charge of the Wild Accelerator Program, and you'll hear in the second part of the show about her event that's going on like tonight, Thursday, if you're listening on Thursday the 17th. And she's got a lot of energy. She's a lot of fun. And she was, you'll be interested in her former job, which was involved Google and Google's sort of failed attempt, I guess, to have a big wireless thing going on in Louisville. And we were all disappointed when that left, as was Amanda. But she made an interesting and smart move to stay in Louisville rather than, you know, she had an opportunity to go with Google somewhere else. So we're glad to have her, and you'll be very interested in hearing what she has to say about Wild Accelerator, a program that boosts female-founded businesses, coming up later in the show. But first up, I am very thrilled to bring in a guy who, get this, he's been a sound engineer for the likes of Garth Brooks. He has been a pilot and once flew around political figures like Steve Beshear around the state of Kentucky, and since he's been in Louisville, he in a period of 6 or 7 years, he did 2,500 blog posts. He does a blog post every single day, and his name is Joe Hayden. And the big news about Joe is that he just now took over as the principal broker here at RE/MAX Properties East. Very excited about that. Everybody here is excited about that. And certainly happy for Harold Taig, who is a legend in these parts. And he is taking a secondary role, taking a back seat. And Joe has taken over the brokerage, and he's got a lot of plans. I'm looking forward to sharing this interview with you. It's all about real estate and Joe's very interesting background. So I'm going to turn it over to that right now. Here is my interview with Joe Hayden.
We're about to blow the cover off of Rick Redding's secret. Hi, everybody. Bob Sekulor here. You know Rick is the force behind the city's longest running and most interesting podcast, and he knows what makes Louisville a great place to live. He's plugged into the city. As a journalist, he's covered stories in every part of the city, so he knows neighborhoods. Now the secret. He's part of the most successful team in the city, the Sekulor team at RE/MAX Properties East, and he's putting his experience to work for buyers and sellers like you. The Sekulor team sells more homes than anyone else in the city, and now Rick is at your disposal. Call him anytime, day or night, at 502-439-6391. 502-439-6391.
And I'm back here in the RE/MAX Properties East studios with the new man in charge. I'm glad to be with Joe Hayden. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. You've got a big test. This was, I guess, sort of a long time coming, but for people that don't know and aren't familiar with Remax Properties East, you've just been named the principal broker. Tell me a little bit about how that came about.
Well, I've been on a trajectory in my career. I've made it a point to learn. I've made it a point to grow. I've built a team up over the past approximately 8 years. As that happened, it gave me some experience, exposed me to different parts of the industry and the market. I've always tried to participate. I've participated at the board of directors at GLAR. I've always tried to participate on committees and things like that. Just try to be active in the industry, and that recently culminated in being on the commission for a time period. But I was at a point of where I wanted to grow, and I wanted to grow my business. I wanted to grow my ability to continue on the same trajectory that I was on. And I began to talk to Harold about what opportunities may present, and that brought up the conversation that this might be a possibility. Wow. And so for the past 9 months, we've had a long, in-depth conversation about what that may be like, and it's culminated in me completing the purchase of Remax Properties East.
All right. Well, congratulations. I'm glad to be on the team here. Let's mention Harold. Harold Tague is the guy that started. I did a little research. I found out, I saw pictures of this building when there was no building here.
Right.
Harold's standing out there on the dirt and everything. So he's certainly been a sort of a legendary figure in local real estate.
That's right. That's right. The brokerage itself has been around for approximately 33 years. He's been around much longer than that. And he's, I would definitely characterize him as a legend. If he listens to this, he may get on my case about that. That has some connotations, but it is true. He's taken the risk. He's worked very hard. He's understood that a brokerage is really in service of the agents at the brokerage, and then those agents are in service of clients. So that is something he's dedicated his career to, and the results of it have been building what I consider to be an incredible organization of agents and staff, and then, of course, this building and structure that's able to house the operation. So he is, in my mind, a mentor and a role model. He's taught me so much about the business. I continue to have his ear, and he continues to give me advice and guidance, and it's going to be that way for a long time.
All right. Well, great. And certainly he's helped me get this studio set up in here, and it's worked out tremendously during the period we've been doing it. But I know a little bit about you've got some background outside of real estate. So let's talk a little bit outside of real estate. You have had a career as a sound engineer, right?
Right.
And airplane pilot?
Correct.
Wow. Odd combination to lead up to being a leader in the real estate industry. But you, in the sound engineer, I was curious because you used to mix, what did you mix records?
I worked both as a recording engineer, so you do the actual recording of the band, and then you would also do the mixing. Depends on what project you're hired for. So most of the time I was what they called a tracking engineer. I did the recording side where we laid right down the tracks, and then typically they hire a specialist, a mix engineer, for those tracks.
Wow, wow. So what kind of music you like?
I like all types of music, so I don't have a particular genre that I fall into. I like what I say good music.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated actually by the production side, the instrumentation, just the layering, the structuring. So I listen to music a little bit differently than most people. Mm-hmm.
Would it put you on the spot to ask the last concert you went to?
yes, not too bad. It's been a while. It's funny. I was telling somebody the other day that when you work like I did in the business, you don't necessarily go to concerts, right? When you go home, you're done with work, and so I wouldn't go to a concert. But I went to see Derek Trucks and Susan Tedeschi at Iroquois Park, and they're an absolutely amazing band.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the last live show I was at. It's been several years ago.
Very cool. Yeah, I saw the Tedeschi Trucks band down at the Palace, I think, not too long ago.
Right? Oh,
Brown,
yeah.
Theater, one of those. And, yeah, so we share that. We share that. You should have been at the Garvin Gate Blues Festival with me.
Probably so. Yeah,
that's a blast down there. I tell you, it's really something. So then you, but you weren't in Louisville this whole time, right?
That's correct. I had a brief stint at college. I went to UK for a little bit. It was clear that the path that I wanted to be on, there wasn't necessarily a class in college or a degree in college that you could get. So I ended up going to a trade school in Phoenix, Arizona for audio engineering. And as a consequence of that, that put me into Nashville in an internship at a studio down there. And I just got lucky and happened to pick one of the top studios. And it wasn't on purpose. It just happened. And so I ended up finding myself literally out of day one working on major label records. And that process from being an intern to what they call a second engineer, to where you set up the microphones and you assist the engineer and producer and artist, then I worked my way up to where I was actually engineering records, and it's been a pretty amazing run.
Can you drop some names on us, somebody we might know?
Well, yes. I mean, I probably had an opportunity to work with every major artist that came out of Nashville as far as country music in the mid to late 90s, and that's everybody from Garth to Wynonna in terms of on the engineering side. Now, the studio I worked at was mostly a tracking studio, so at times they would come in for one track or a couple tracks or an overdub, mostly string overdubs and things like that. So some of those were full albums, some of those were single tracks, but I think I did about 250 albums in some way, shape, or form over that time period, and about 75 were major label releases.
Wow. And you gave all that up to come back to Louisville.
Well, then I moved to California. Well, I moved to Austin after Nashville. A little bit of change of pace in music, a different style of music.
Sure.
It was something that I wanted to do for my life. And when I was in Austin, I got my pilot's license, actually. And so I had kind of a lifelong dream of learning to fly. And I realized that when I was in Austin. And then after flying for about a year, I realized that I might want to try professional aviation as a career. And that led me out to California to a flight school where I got my commercial instrument, multi-engine, flight instructor instrument, flight instructor, multi-engine, and then became an instructor at that school to build time.
Wow. So. You know, most of us, I've had a number of different careers as well. So, you know, that's pretty amazing. What brought you back to Louisville?
To come back home. I mean, family's from this area, born and raised in the area. When I got to California, I tell people I was as far west as you could get, essentially without going to Hawaii or Alaska. And so I didn't really want to travel any further west. I just like Louisville. I've always have. It's a perfect big, small town is the way I like to explain it. It has kind of a little bit of everything. It's close to everything. And I just wanted to be back in this area.
Yeah. Well, glad you did. What year was that you came back?
2006.
So you started in real estate basically, I guess, from scratch then?
Yes. I flew professionally until late 2008. So I had a job flying air ambulance where we flew for the Kentucky and Indiana Organ Donor Network. But then I got my real estate license in January of 2007 and worked part-time until approximately 2009 when I started full-time. I quit the flying and started full-time real estate at that point.
Wow. So it's been a good ride because you mentioned all that stuff. You were on the Kentucky Real Estate Commission.
Yes.
And gave that up to take over as principal broker.
Yes.
Here. And, you know, that's quite a ride. let's talk about real estate a little bit.
Okay.
In the market. Right now, I guess the big selling season is sort of winding down.
That's correct.
But you got a lot going on. What do you tell people about the market at this point?
Well, one thing that's happened over the last several years, the traditional selling seasons have gone away. I mean, not only because of the internet, but also because we've had a low inventory challenge in the area. Plus, mm-hmm. interest rates have stayed very, very low. It's kind of changed the dynamic of selling season. So now, because of the fact that if you find a great home, whether you find it in May or whether you find it in December, I mean, people are acting on it because they know it's the right home for their needs. And because of the inventory challenges, plus combined with low interest rates, I think it makes people act at different times. So I'm seeing less of the historic traditional seasonal real estate and more of people acting at the time that's right for them. And that does create some different complications in the market, but it also kind of helps us in keeping a consistent market throughout the year. But right now what I see is that interest rate level is just so historically low that it's made a big difference in keeping the market going and energized.
Yeah, it really seems to. But how do you? I mean, I know there's no blanket solution. But how do we as real estate agents deal with this low inventory problem?
Well, one way is, I hate to say it so simply, but you just kind of have to deal with it. There's so many different factors that drive it. If you think about it, the interest rates that are low also affect sellers who might be in at a higher interest rate and want to refinance. And if you're a seller sitting in a home that generally works for your needs and you could refinance into a much lower payment and maybe shorten the time period to pay off the home, that may change your mind about moving, for example. Or you may look out there and you may see low inventory and and decide that I can't find anything better than where we're at, and maybe we can refinance or not, but we might decide to stay and make this work. So a lot of those factors are at play in the market right now. They're hard to quantify. New construction has exploded in the area. That has pulled a lot of buyers out of the market. It's changed the dynamic. We've had a lot of large apartment complexes built that are very nice. When you're competing, you can pay for a 1,500 square foot apartment, $1,500 a month approximately, and it looks like a $200,000 or $300,000 condo, and you could get out in a year if you want to. You can stay mobile. That has a dramatic effect on the market as well. So I think we're in a period of dynamicism that we're not going to really see the output of it in the very near future. It's going to take some time for the inventory to stabilize and the market to stabilize as these forces play out.
Sure, sure. Well, let's wrap it up with some more about Remax Properties East, because people that don't know, I did a little research on this recently, but this agency has won award after award after award over the years.
That's right.
And we've got, tell me about the agents. There's a lot of agents here, and they are very experienced.
That's right. That was one very important thing to Harold, and it's also been typically the REMAX model is to find experienced agents and develop them and support them. So that has been what has grown this company. I think fundamentally it has been the agents. It's not very easy to find agents with experience. It takes a long time to develop. You have to have the right type of mindset. It's a really special person that can operate at a very high professional level with a lot of expertise in this business. And Harold did an amazing job of pulling together, really some of the finest agents that we have in this area, and he got them all into one roof. And so a lot of them are still here. They work very hard. They know what to do. And I think it's provided us an opportunity to provide a tremendous amount of service and value to the area. That expertise matters. That experience matters. Sure. The ability to get through a transaction in a positive way, it very much matters.
And it's a great environment, I guess, for rookies like me, who are just getting started in real estate. There's so much knowledge and resources for a new agent.
That's right. And of course, being able to shadow others and learn from others' experience. One of the challenges in our industry is it has what we call a low barrier to entry. It's pretty easy to take the classes. It's pretty easy to take the test in some ways. And then once you become licensed, it's all about gaining and building experience. And so at the rate that you can do that through transactions or mentoring with others, it's going to have a dramatic effect on your ability to grow and learn as well. So that's one great benefit of being here. We have all this collective experience that we can benefit from together, solve problems, and help people have more positive transactions.
All right. Well, that's a great message to end on here at Remax Properties East. If you're interested, we should send people to a website, right?
HomesInLouisville.com.
HomesInLouisville.com is all about Remax Properties East. And, of course, you hear enough about me talking about trying to get people to come on board and investigate getting a new home.
That's right.
All right. That's to Joe Hayden for joining me this week, and I'm sure you'll be back again.
Yes.
So thanks a lot, Joe, and we'll be back with more of the show in just a minute. Right,
thanks.
Kaiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Kaiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Kaiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And a big thank you to Joe Hayden for coming by the office that is actually one of his offices. It's Joe's the principal broker around here now at Remax Properties East, and that's where our studio is. And he is... thankfully, agreed to let the Rusty Satellite Show studios continue right here here on Timberwood Circle. So thank you to Joe. And one more thing about real estate before we move on to the show. As you know, I'm a young realtor here at Remax Properties East. And one of our great lenders is Swan Financial. And you heard Randy Rocky about a month ago on the show talking about some things. They've got a new program that we're going to be talking about a little bit. He's put out a brochure that is a great how-to on how to establish credit. It goes through the whole home buying process. And there's big news there. He can do you a loan with no lender fees, no origination fees. There are programs out there for first-time home buyers with no money down. He does incredible rates, all that stuff. And right now, there's a special program going around that Swan is behind, along with myself, and we are offering a $500 gift card to anyone who applies for and follows through at closing on your own loan for your home. So if you want to hear more about that, give me a call at 502-439-6391. All right, very exciting time here in Louisville, Kentucky as we get into fall. You going to the game Saturday, or the massacre, as we say? The University of Louisville football program has done a lot better than anybody expected this year. Of course, they were 2-10 a year ago, and in most of those games they lost by a lot. So now they've beaten they've won two games that a lot of people weren't sure. They beat Boston College, and they had a great win over Wake Forest last week. Reality comes stomping at the door this week because Clemson is in town. They play Saturday at noon out at Cardinal Stadium. It should be a I hope it's a good game. It's funny that Louisville plays Clemson, the best team on its schedule, the same week that Kentucky plays Georgia, the best team on its schedule. Kentucky's favored to lose by you ever heard that you remember that show Leonard's Losers? This guy, this crazy Southern accent, and he said Leonard's loser, Kentucky. Kentucky is expected to lose by I think the margin is like 28, and Louisville is expected to lose by like 24. It may change a little bit before game time, but neither team is expected to be competitive this week. You will see if you're roaming around town. Clemson fans travel very well. There will be a lot of orange around town, so you can't get the hotel rooms in the city have been booked for weeks. So don't expect to get a hotel room. it's a big time. There will be a lot of Clemson fans, so it ought to be a fun weekend. The thing is, they are the nicest people you'll ever meet, and people that go down to Clemson when Louisville plays down there come back talking about how great the hospitality is. So we're going to return the favor here and do that. A few things in the news, I think, that are interesting. I'm glad I don't have to do this. I tell you, did you hear that Joe Lee Antiques is going out of business? Have you ever been in that place? I mean, it is like three or four floors of stuff. It's like your worst nightmare of a yard sale. And there's a lot of great finds in there and stuff, but Joe Lay announced that they are going to go out of business. It's going to be an auction, a progressive auction. It's going to take place over several weeks, and there is just so much stuff there. Right there in Nulu, I think that building is going to turn into something else. I know a Capital Group has already made mention, the story I read in Business First, that they were going to try to acquire the building, but it is going to take so long to get all that stuff out of there. I'm telling you, if you had a bad yard sale, need to get rid of stuff, times 100 is what's going on at Joe Lay Antiques. It's really something. So I think if you go online, you can bid on some of that stuff as well. I don't know if they're open or not, but it's sort of a Louisville institution. People know that place. Is right there on Market Street in Nulu. Okay, another thing in Business First, they had a list, and they always have lists, but they had lists of the highest paid public officials. All right, can you guess which Rusty Satellite Show guests were the top two? That's right. Rusty Satellite Show guest Karen Williams is head of the Visitors Bureau. She weighed in at number one, and also the airport chief, Dan Mann, who was on this show not too long ago. He's only been in the job a couple of years, but he is number two on the list. And there were 25 people on the list. The other two Rusty Satellite Show guests who were on it, Cleo Battle, also with the Visitors Bureau, he was number 10. So he's got a pretty important spot down there. And Police Chief Steve Conrad, one of my favorite interviews, was number 19. He gets paid well for what he does for the city. So Anyway, that was a little interesting tidbit about what people get paid. People are always interested about what people get paid. It's a big deal. You know, like the mayor wasn't even on the list. His salary is, I don't know, I think it was like $125,000. It's not much. You're not running for mayor for the salary. That's for sure. All right. Speaking of politics, though, I caught part of the debate last night that was on with Governor Matt Bevin and Attorney General Andy Beshear. And, you know, I don't know. Bevin is gaining ground. You know, he is the least liked governor in the country, but he is gaining ground. But he is. I like this tweet that Matt Jones, you remember Matt Jones, the UK guy who's been on this show. He tweeted out that he'd rather spend 48 hours with Mitch McConnell than to have lunch with Matt Bevin. He's just a jerk. He's just not a pleasant person. And he was so combative on that show last night. But the thing is, here's the thing. And I don't like him. I don't support him. I don't want him to be governor another minute. But he is a good speaker. He conveys his message well, even if you disagree with it. And I tell you, I'm not betting against him. I don't like Beshear as a candidate. I didn't like his dad. And there's a whole story about how his dad became governor, because I was working on a rival campaign, the campaign for Bruce Lunsford. And his dad made a promise he knew he couldn't keep and won the election with it, right? He promised that he would get, by sheer force of will and leadership, he would get gambling passed in the Kentucky legislature. He spent 8 years trying to do that, never came close. And, you know, I wish the Democrats had done a little better. I wish they'd have put Adam Edlin up there. But as far as Bevin goes, I mean, I agree with what Matt Jones said. I mean, if offered, I don't think I could stand to have Bevin on this show. Maybe if somebody hear that and push to have him on, but I'm not a fan. I wish that Adam Edlin was running against him. I'd be able to get a little more excited about it. But anyway, the latest poll has him dead even. Dead even. So that's something. Hey, there's a little piece of news in Indiana, over in Jeffersonville, about John Schnatter. And Papa John has been on a quest to restore his name, I guess, after that he was basically forced out of the company he founded over a racial slur. And there's a lot of theories on what happened with that and why it happened. But Schnatter has been trying to get respect back, I guess, because he's not doing much with Papa John's. He's been ousted from the company. He gave some money to like Simmons College a few weeks ago. He's been making some donations around on good causes, and good for him. But in Jeffersonville, which is where he's from, you know, when the whole controversy started, the mayor over there, Mike Moore, took his name down from the city gym and gave him some money back that he had donated and all that. Well, it came out this week that Schnatter has given $500,000 to his old high school. I guess to the greater Clark County schools. And he's going to get his name on the stadium, if you can believe that. It's going to be Schnatter Stadium over there in Jeffersonville. I was reading the story. I didn't realize that Schnatter played on played baseball there. I should have remembered, because I had Larry Wilder on this show, and he knew him from high school and all that, the attorney in Indiana, Larry Wilder. But anyway, so Schnatter's given a bunch of money to the high school program that he played in, and they're going to spend it on some improvements, some stuff they need. And the officials there are saying, you know, we don't care. We don't care about the controversy. We like his money, right? They like the money, and so they're taking the money, and they're going to name the stadium after John Schnatter. Isn't that something? All right, so a lot of good stuff going on around town. Before we get to Amanda Bates, our next guest, I want to tell you I had a great night last Saturday. Paul and I went down to the Logan Street Market, visited for the first time. We saw a bunch of people we knew in there. Jeff Brantley and his restaurant Bramble were there. We sat down there and had a drink, and ran into another ex-Rusty Satellite guest, one of my favorites, Rick Redmond and his wife Martha. and it was crowded. It was crowded. Everybody was having a good time. And after that, we drove a couple of miles west to enjoy the Garvin Gate Blues Festival. I told you about last week. It is an awesome event. I hope I never miss it. It was just, there's a lot of love in the air, I guess. It's an odd, eclectic mix of people. But the bands are great. And we spent a couple hours enjoying the music in Old Louisville at the Garvin Gate Blues Festival, which was a great thing. So this weekend, the only thing I've really got on my schedule is the football game. But there's going to be a lot of stuff going on with that, with all the Clemson fans in town, and plenty to do. So anyway, that's up. That's what's with this segment of the show. And as we wind up, I want to tell you that Amanda Bates is I really enjoyed meeting her. She came in on our day off, number one, to meet with me last week, and we had a great conversation. She told me a lot of stuff that I didn't know about the Wild Accelerator program, how in Louisville now we are really working hard to build businesses from the ground up and to have businesses get started here. And it's amazing how few of them are founded by females. But they're trying to do something about that with the Wild Accelerator program, and Amanda's path to get to that point is a very interesting one, which you'll hear about in this interview coming up. Thanks for tuning in to the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm glad to be with you. It's Rick Redding. You can find stuff about me on Facebook and Twitter at Ricky Redding. And you can just give me a call at 502-439-6391, especially if you want to talk about real estate. And I will look forward to doing that. And we'll be back with another show, hopefully, next week. I'm pretty sure we will. We're right here at the RE/MAX Properties East Studio. And here now is my interview with Amanda Bates.
All right, once again, I am downtown at the Story Louisville offices. I ran into another really cool person, Amanda Bates. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I know you came in here on your day off just to talk to me. I'm grateful to you for that. You didn't have to wear your pajamas. I mean, I believe you that you were that you just gotten up. But kidding aside, you have a very important job around here, and I want to hear about it.
Yeah, humbled by it. I'm the executive director of the Wild Accelerator. It's an accelerator designed to support female founders here in Louisville. We work with ideation to early stage companies. So basically what that means is napkin stage idea, you're writing it down, aha, big moment, all the way up to early stage where you have kind of a business model, maybe you have some financial planning, a logo design, maybe some customers, maybe not. Kind of right there in that sweet spot. Maybe you've started doing some seed money. Maybe you haven't. You could be having some revenue up to $250,000 to apply. Okay. So that's kind of the sweet spot of who we're looking for. But we do a...
And you have to be a girl.
Yes, you have to be a female or identify as a female.
Okay. Very good. So it's a great program to support. And the program, we're not writing checks to people, right? It's what they get if they win is something other than money.
Yeah, so right now what we're doing is we're giving about $25,000 of in-kind services to each entrepreneur. So when you're that early on, what you really spend your money on is designers making your website or lawyers writing, you know, your documents to get your filings correct, accountants, all of the basic stuff. So instead of giving you the money, we've partnered with different service providers around town to take care of those expenses for you.
Okay. And this is like the second round. I mean, you've already had some people go through the program, right?
Yes, so this is the season two. We don't call them cohorts because we have a fun, you know, sassy brand. So season one was last year, and it had three entrepreneurs. This year, we doubled it because we want to be able to support more female founders at a time. So we have six companies, and we have seven founders. So one company is a double team.
Okay.
And they're amazing women, bright, intelligent, awesome.
Okay. And they've already been selected for season two.
They have.
So what's happening like tonight?
So tonight is actually their big moment. In tech world, we call it a demo night or a demo event. But really what it is a celebration. And each entrepreneur gets to pitch their company. So they have 5 minutes to get up in front of the community. And even if a listener wants to come, we would love for you to join us. But they get up, have 5 minutes, and they walk through what their company is, what they're doing, their model. And then there's some sort of ask at the end.
Well, in less than 5 minutes, can you tell me a little bit about the companies?
Yeah, so I'm going to try to get them all. First, we have the Bluegrass Baby Co. And that's September Morgan. She's an amazing founder. But basically what she's trying to do is help corporations now instead of just individual consumers with sleep training their babies, their newborn babies.
Wow.
So having that as part of a benefit package. And so she talks a lot about how many nights new parents miss sleeping. I think it's 44 days the first year, which is bonkers. So she kind of goes in and helps take care of that to get working people back
on. You can get help to get your baby to sleep better.
Right? Yes, late through the night. It's crazy. So the next company is a Bluegrass Bunkhouse. That's Haley Smith and Brittany Ridge, and that's my co-founder team. And they're trying to create a new version of a hostel, a modern hostel here in Louisville that's going to attract kind of the millennial traveler who wants to come in for Forecastle or the Bourbon Festival or something fun like that to have more affordable accommodations, but also have more of a community event kind of communal living vibe. And it's beautiful. So I'm so excited to see that to come through and finally be a staple in our community. The next team or the next founder I have is Nanny Goat Press. Her name is Sarah Gardner, and she's revolutionizing the way that authors get published. So usually you have to have three different agents that helped you go through that process, and then you have to have a publisher, and then you have to have a printer. She's combining all of those things in one to make it more streamlined and more affordable for authors, which is amazing. Then we have Paver, no E, Paver, founder Jessica Bledsoe, and she's revolutionizing the way that your G calendar, your Google calendar, integrates into other productivities components. So it's pretty fascinating. If you're a techie and if you're a Google Calendar or Gmail user, you're going to love it. Our next founder is Pinpoint Pharma, and her name is Angela Demery. And she's our founder that's from Indianapolis. And they are doing printable pet meds. So I don't know if you have a dog. I do. And I've had to try to give him like a pill before. And he can find it in the big spoonful of peanut butter. And it's so frustrating. And so they're making like flavored pet meds that are through syringes so that the dogs really love it. It's pretty amazing. And she's a veterinarian herself. So that's pretty awesome. And then we have, I'm trying to think who I haven't said yet.
God, you were doing so good on your less than 5 minute thing. And now that person's going to get a hold of you. And
I know. And I'm going to be in trouble.
You're going to be in trouble.
But I'm going to be in trouble.
If you think of it as we go on, now we've just got a couple more minutes left. I want to ask you how you got into this and about your history with Google, because Google is a big thing around here for a while. And then you made the decision to up and leave.
Yeah, so I had.
I know you didn't make this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I get teased about this all the time. Even my really close friends joke and say it's my fault, but it's not. I had the pleasure and the honor of being the community impact person for Google Fiber here in Louisville, and it was an amazing ride. I learned so many things and got to work with amazing people, both community members, neighbors, and also my coworkers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was tough. You know, when you talk about startups and working with entrepreneurs, Google Fiber is still a startup. We have a really big budget, but we're still a startup. Yeah. We're trying to revolutionize the way that internet works. Mm-hmm. And we tried something new in Louisville, and it failed. Okay. And I think, you know, we have to be honest about saying that directly. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't my decision. I was the only one that's from Louisville that worked here in Louisville on the team. So it was really hard for me to watch our community members suffer. But I can't say enough amazing things about the public works team and the mayor and how they handled it, especially Grace Simmerall, who's head of innovation for the city. They are some of the most amazing people and showed us so much grace.
Okay.
So,
well, we're not going to blame you for what happened with Google. It's quite all right, but it had to be a very exciting time. And
it was.
And you know, for somebody so young, you got your hands in a lot of pies, I guess, doing that. So so you're from Louisville.
From Louisville, born and raised.
And that's why you're here. Why you said you've had opportunities to leave. You had an opportunity to live in Colorado, and you decided to stay.
Yeah, I mean, Louisville is amazing. There's so many great things that are happening here. I think our greatest resource is obviously the people. We're pretty gritty and we're strong-willed. And we have such an understanding of how to utilize a network, and we're willing to make introductions in a way that I really haven't seen in other cities. So I love that about Louisville. But the other thing, the thing that most people don't talk about is Louisville isn't at a place where we're really, really excelling and doing as well as our sister cities like Indianapolis and Cincinnati and Nashville. And I think we can. It's possible, but we're not there yet. And so I chose to stay, and I'm choosing to be here because I want to help push our city forward and be able to be at a higher level of competition.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess really, and I guess what you really mean in technology space a lot is – you know, there's a lot of good things to talk about, especially in this building, right?
Yeah.
But I guess we got a ways to go.
Yeah, we got a ways to go. And, you know, back to the thing that I do with Wild Accelerator, if we want to have amazing female-founded companies that are at the, you know, Humana level, then we have to start nurturing and growing founders from the very beginning and giving them the tools, the skills, the access, and the resources that they need to be successful. And the only way to do that is to start really well and build a good foundation.
Yeah.
So that's why it's, you know, specifically important to me now.
Yeah. Yeah. And the focus on female, I just had a mind lock, but I'm sure, you know, there must be some Microsoft or Google out there that was founded by a woman. What do you think the biggest, or is there a really big company that's founded by a woman?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a ton of amazing female founded companies as far as technology, like a Facebook, Google, not as much,
yeah,
but
you know,
but yeah, there's a lot of dudes, and there's a lot of really amazing women that are working side by side. But you know, Project One Way, and there's a lot of cosmetic companies that are founded by women that are just doing amazing. And when you look at what their exits were when they went public versus what male companies were exiting at is a huge disparity. And that's a huge problem for me, and it's a huge problem for women, because we're not being paid the same. We're not being valued with the same, even though we have a 35% higher ROI. Mm-hmm. And so part of the work that I want to create is help women fight for the same returns that our male counterparts are getting.
Sure, sure. Well, it's going to be exciting seeing these six companies.
Six companies.
Get going. And maybe there's a big winner in there. You never know. The dog pill thing, that sounds like something that can happen. I don't know. I heard a thing on NPR today about the dog wagging, the dog walking companies.
WAG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, WAG. And so there's, you know, there's great opportunities for new ideas, I guess, all the
there
time.
There is. And I think it's going to be amazing. I recommend everyone come and join. It's going to be at Story Louisville. I'm here in this building, 900 East Main, on the third floor. The event's from 6 p.m. to 8:30.
Okay.
And there'll be lots of fun food and drinks and vendors. And it's a celebration. So the more people that come and join us, the more...
So we can just show up. You don't have to pay to get in or anything.
So we ask for a pay what you can. It's a donation to Wild Accelerator because we are a nonprofit.
Okay.
So there's different pay-what-you-can prices, so just come and join us.
All right, Amanda. Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you, and best of luck.
Thanks so much for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.